Living your commission. We all have problems. We see problems every day in different areas and aspects of life. And we all have a reaction to problems when we see them. In some way, shape, or form, we react to problems when they pop up. Even now, you're probably thinking about some problem that's occupying the space of your life and your mind. You know, sometimes problems keep us up at night. Couldn't sleep well last night because I was thinking about this and that. We're troubled by problems. Whether the problem might be personal or local, or it could be a problem somewhere over there in a different part of the world. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that sometimes I carry these problems around with me throughout the day, sometimes longer. Problems seem to be ever-present. And our relationship with our problems, well, they may very well dictate the way in which we approach our lives, the manner in which our problems give us how we live, the manner in which problems serve us or don't serve us dictates how we live. While it's true that there's an inescapable connection between the presence of problems as an ever-present element of life, that's inescapable, how we manage that is what's the challenge. What's interesting is that we don't manage it. We allow problems to dictate how we flavor our lives. Sometimes we embrace problems as if that's who we are, rather than problems coming to go. And the other piece that's really important is that we forget that we have a choice in the matter of how to relate to problems. Now, that doesn't mean that problems won't happen. Of course they do. But we do have a choice in how we are going to process problems, hold on to them, or not. Many years ago, this young man was fortunate enough to purchase his first brand new car. He was so proud. It was like an accomplishment that he just couldn't stop beaming about. He had many cars over the years, but it was, you know, one hunk of junk after another just to get around, just to get back and forth to work and take care of things. But his first new car was such an accomplishment. A very nervous and fright-filled friend of his cautioned him about everything. She offered warnings about this, warnings about that. You don't want to park here. You want to make sure you get, you know, one of those clubs to put on a steering wheel. You don't want to have it like in a dark area with no lights. You want to make sure you get that additional car alarm. He was worn out by her cautions. He became tired of hearing it. And then he decided exactly how to respond to her. The next time she came up with all these concerns and objections, he just looked at her and smiled. And he said to her, "If any of that happens that you're talking about, after going through any of the necessary changes that one would have to go through, I can't wait to look forward to replacing it with a newer model." In the tug of war between her problem approach and his happiness approach, he chose happiness. So many of us approach life not from a happiness approach, but from a problem approach. That's the perspective and the relationship we have with problems. We embrace life from a problem perspective rather than looking at what the opportunities are, starting out from a place of happiness, starting out from an awareness that we have choice in the matter. We forget we have choice. And what's more important about that choice element is that we don't realize that sometimes exercising our choice gives rise to greater outcomes. Sometimes exercising that choice not to be problem-centered gives rise to greater outcomes. Now, at first that may not make sense, but let's examine what that might look like. We've all experienced problems that, for whatever reasons, turned out in a completely positive and opposite manner. Those problems turned around in such a way that it defied logic. And we're left scratching our heads like, how did this happen when the problem was so dramatic? It was so fierce. We've all had situations like that. Those times when you know you should have died, but something or someone was in the right place at the right time. Those problems that defy logic. We like to call those situations serendipity or coincidence. But I would like to offer that something else is operating. For your consideration and reflection, I'd like to consider a different perspective on all of this. Because we've all seen these situations. And if we haven't seen them, we've heard about them. And if we haven't heard about them, we know someone who it's happened to. And if we don't know someone who it's happened to, we have seen or heard stories about it on the news. We know how these things work. We've seen them before. We don't necessarily always believe in them, but we know that this type of situation, we know that they happen. Situations where the predictable outcome of a problem just turned around to be something miraculous. You know, situations like a major health problem, and suddenly on a train or a bus or whatever, there's a medical professional at the scene. Or situations like someone being mugged and two or three steps away, there happens to be a off-duty officer who intervenes and saves the day. Or even situations where you might be or someone might be traveling to a meeting and they're hopelessly lost. And in that state of being lost, they run into someone who happens to be going to that very same meeting. We've all seen situations like that. And what I'd like to offer is that there is this irony attached to our problem situations that we often fail to recognize or realize. I would offer that we have our priorities confused such that we focus on the problem at the expense of sitting next to the solution. There's an old Indian tale that says every poisonous plant or element in nature has the antidote within 6 feet of where the problem plant might be. If that's a fact of nature, if that's a fact of life, we might want to extract that example and apply it here. I would offer that we have our priorities confused. In those situations that I just cited, in those examples, we focus more on the problem rather than being open to the opportunity for a solution. We forget. This irony in our approach to life and problems is that we already have access to solutions rather than focus on problems as a priority. What if we were to instead shift our focus to what I'm going to call our commission. It takes something to remain separate from a problem. It takes something to have the problem exist over there. But if we were living out our commission, we would know that our assignment has nothing to do with the problem per se, but more to do with our calling. More to do with why we're here. And it could be said that your commission is your calling from God. Your true God-given self. That's your commission. Your commission is your calling. Why you are here. Why you're on this earth. That which can only be expressed by you and through you. No one can sing your song. No one can deliver your message. Only you. Only you. Your commission is why God sent you and gave you that unique assignment. It's yours. And it's only you who can deliver it. Now, understand, and this is very important, your commission is different than your job. Sometimes it happens to be the same thing. Sometimes you're fortunate enough to have that happen. But that's not always the case. We think our work is often our job, but let me tell you, I know this brilliant, brilliant musician who does nothing with his commission because his job is as an administrator, where he touches nothing that looks like his musical calling. We all know folks like that, and I would offer, we all are folks like that. What is your commission? When you live out your commission, life takes on a different form. And here are some examples. If your commission is as a cardiologist, every cardiac event would be an opportunity to express your calling. Now, put aside all the financial gain and everything else like that, but we know gifted professionals, and that's what it's about, living out one's commission. If your commission is as an economist or a financial analyst, every financially challenged person would represent an opportunity. If your commission is as a teacher, then every opportunity to lift the global intelligence presents itself as an opportunity. Your commission is quite different than your job. Absolutely. Your commission is the expression of your calling. And just think about this for a moment. If we were all to live out of our commission, we would be a world that would actually have us feeding each other. And what we now call serendipity or consider a coincidence, it wouldn't be serendipity anymore. It wouldn't be coincidence. It would just be how we live, feeding each other out of our commission. Live out of your commission. God bless.